and welcome to worship from the Peninsula Churches in the West Highlands. It's fairly wintry today in Harrickal, as you can probably see. But some of you, I know, will have far more snow and far colder temperatures. It's around about freezing here today. We're going to hear the story of a wedding in a small village, where Jesus famously turned water into wine. And our call to worship, first, some words from our Old Testament reading today from the book of Isaiah. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And then some words from Genesis, the first book in the Bible. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. So let us worship God.
Jesus, you have called us. Come, follow me. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and live. Jesus, I am willing, though I am weak, I'll trust
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Maker of all things, when the labour of creation was complete, you looked with wonder on the new life that was part of you, but separate now. You counted the tiny atoms and starlets, marvelling at how perfect they were. You smiled down at the creatures most like yourself and imagined them smiling back, even if it was too early for that yet. You took delight in all you had made. You knew the dangers these little ones would face and the dubious choices they would make. You knew the pain that lay ahead for them and that you would feel it too. And you did not regret having made them, but loved them all the more. And your heart still did somersaults when you saw them all grown up, their innocence gone and with scars to show for their troubles. And all you wanted them, no, all you wanted us to know was that you delighted in us still. Father God, help us to see ourselves and one another through your eyes of love. May we take delight in ourselves as we rejoice in one another, seeing past the scars to the beauty underneath, seeing not the failures, but the immense God-given potential for good. With Christ at our side and his Spirit within us, may we work with you to release the joy and love that are your most precious gifts to us and your desire for the whole creation. Amen.
Isaiah 62, reading from verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendour in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. John chapter 2, reading from verse 1. Water into wine. 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. When they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, "They're just about out of wine." Jesus said, "Is that any of our business, Mother, yours or mine? This isn't my time. Don't push me." She went ahead anyway, telling the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." 6 stoneware water pots were there, used by the Jews for ritual washings. Each held 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus ordered the servants, "Fill the pots with water." And they filled them to the brim. "Now, Fill your pitchers and take them to the host, Jesus said. And they did. When the host tasted the water that had become wine, he didn't know what had just happened, but the servants, of course, knew. He called out to the bridegroom, Everybody I know begins with their finest wines, and after the guests have had their fill, brings in the cheap stuff. But you have saved the best till now. This act in Cana of Galilee was the first sign Jesus gave, the first glimpse of his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
We've just heard a passage from John's Gospel. All four Gospels were written down well after the first Easter and after the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And all four were written down because the authors wanted other people to know about the wonderful things that had happened and come to know God's love and believe in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Matthew, Mark and Luke do this by recording how the disciples came gradually to that belief. They take us step by step through the journey of faith, from the disciples seeing Jesus as an exciting new teacher, to a powerful miracle worker and healer, to Messiah in earthly terms, someone who would throw out the Romans, to Messiah in spiritual terms, Lord and Saviour. A journey of developing belief. John's approach is quite different. He starts straight away with Jesus being identified as the spiritual Messiah. The great words we often hear at Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John then records a series of signs by which this identity as spiritual Messiah, Lord and Saviour, is revealed. John's use of the word sign indicates that there's more to an event than we might first think, a deeper spiritual meaning. Towards the end of his Gospel, John writes, These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. As we've just heard, the marriage at Cana was the first of these signs. This can be a bit of a surprise. After all, most of Jesus' wondrous works or miracles recorded in the Gospels are miracles of healing, often accompanied by words of forgiveness. Acts that fit with a Lord and Saviour. Wouldn't it be reasonable to expect that once Jesus started his adult earthly ministry, the first miracle recorded would be a great one of healing and forgiveness? But no. Instead, in John's Gospel, we have the story of Jesus sorting out the lack of provisions at a party. Now, although Jesus was a person of great compassion, we can be sure that he wasn't simply saving the wedding couple from embarrassment or trying to please his mother. This first sign says something very important about the whole of Jesus' earthly life and about the whole of his earthly ministry. It's like the introduction to a book telling us what will follow. Jesus' earthly life, his incarnation, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At Cana, we see Jesus dwelling among us, celebrating, joining in a party, enjoying a social gathering in a small village. When Jesus came to earth, he fully embraced human life. The joys as well as the pains, the little as well as the big, time with individuals, time with crowds, local celebrations, national feasts. He lived life to the full. He enjoyed it. I think that this is a clear message of the first sign. What better way to show this, to celebrate the joy of life, than at a wedding? When we reflect on Jesus' earthly life, we can often focus on the pain and suffering he endured for us, and rightly so, for this helps to reveal the depth of God's love for us. It can also be a source of comfort when we are suffering, to know that Jesus really understands what we're going through. But focusing solely on this aspect of Jesus' earthly life can lead us to a distorted view of human life, as something to be got through, something to be endured until we die and are rewarded with a heavenly life that we can actually enjoy. We can lose sight of the fact that God created human life. And as the book of Genesis said, God saw all that he had created, and it was very good. Jesus did not just put up with the visit to earth to please his Father. It wasn't something he had to grin and bear and just get through until he could return to his Father's side. Living as a human was not something he just pretended to do, a bit of play acting. No, Jesus really lived life, and it was very good. The source of Jesus' fullness and joy, whatever happened, through celebration and through pain, was his living completely in loving relationship, in communion with his Father. And Jesus' whole earthly ministry was about drawing us into that loving relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, into communion with God, offering mankind life in its fullness and joy, a life that is very good now in this present age, and in the age to come, even greater joy. This was to be achieved by the transforming power of God's love. And the first sign, the introduction to the book, clearly shows us that transforming power in action. Water is transformed into wine. Now, water is good and useful, but rather plain and ordinary. Wine, however, is rich and full of flavour, special. In ancient Israel, wine was a symbol of joy, a blessing, gladdening people's hearts. Jesus transforms the ordinary into the extraordinary, bringing the ordinary to the fullness for which it was created. For the wine which Jesus provided was an abundance of the very best. 6 jars, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. That's a lot of wine. In using the stone water jars of the old Jewish religious rituals, Jesus also showed that he was bringing to fulfillment and transforming the old Jewish system, the rules and rituals associated with the law, useful in the past, now changing into something new, the living, loving relationship between God and man. The marriage at Cana shows what is going to follow. Time after time, the power of God's love will be shown in healings, forgiveness, provision of food for the multitudes. Sign will follow sign, and lives will be transformed. Individuals will be drawn into loving relationship with God. That transforming power of God's love is present in the world today. still seeking to draw all into loving relationship with him. Jesus still offers to change water into wine, the ordinary into the extraordinary. He offers to transform the water of our lives into wine if we but let him. It doesn't matter how stagnant and murky that water might be. I sometimes think the water of my life wouldn't pass many health checks. But it isn't beyond the power of God's love to change it. How do we let this happen? As the story tells us, the transformation occurred after the servants heard and followed the words, "Do whatever he tells you." Words that Mary spoke. Mary, who saw a problem and trusted that her son would work something out. Not that she probably had any idea of the full significance of her words. Are we willing to hear those words and do whatever he tells us, trusting in him and letting the power of God's love rule our lives and turn the water into wine? And what does he repeatedly tell us? To love God and to love our neighbour. Are we willing to let the wine of our lives overflow to others, telling them of the joy of following of Jesus, of doing what he tells us, of being drawn into loving relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Amen.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. God, whose name and whose essence is love, you have made us so that we become more fully ourselves in loving relationship with you and with one another. We give thanks for all the many ways in which self-giving love can be experienced and shared. In marriage, sometimes, but not always, and certainly not exclusively there. We celebrate biological families and blended ones, loving friendships and caring professionals, all whose homes are places of kindness and respect, open to friend and stranger alike. We give thanks for churches and mosques, temples and gurdwaras, that not only talk about your love, but show it in the warmth of their welcome. Our prayers of concern are the flip side of our reasons for thanksgiving. We pray for couples in loveless marriages, for children living in homes where conflict and violence are the norm. We grieve with those who have lost a loved one, and think, more sadly still, of those who have never known what it is to have another person's face light up when they enter a room. As members of church, society and the wider world, we pray for communities that do not function as they should, for situations where power is abused and prejudice confirmed, where difference is feared and inequalities are reinforced. Loving God, may your transforming love break through somehow, and may we be part of the change for which we pray. Amen.
We now consider our offerings. Lord God, we bring these gifts to you, tokens of our work, our time, our love. May your blessing be upon them, and may they be a source, a new beginning that produces new wine, new hope, new visions. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. May the smile of God warm us, the light of God lead us, and the fire of the Holy Spirit blaze in us, transforming us into the richness of wine. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us, with all whom we love, and with all God's children everywhere. Amen.
Shine upon.